Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menuchas Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Ayin Ches, we see a Mishnah. The Mishnah, Hamiluim Hoyu Boin Kematzo Shebatoro. The Miluim is a reference to a korban, a sacrifice, that was offered upon the dedication of the Mishkan. And as part of the Mishkan dedication, there was a meal offering, or a series of meal offerings of menachos that were offered. And the Mishnah says they were like the matzah part of a korban toida. And that means that they included chalois, rekikin, uravicha, three types of non-chometz loaves. Those loaves were present in the toda offering as well. Nazirus hoisabo shtei yodois kematzo shel toda. The nazir, when he finishes his nazirus period, he brings a korban shlomim, and along with the korban shlomim are 20 loaves. The 20 loaves are made of what the Mishnah terms two-thirds of that which one would bring as part of the matzah loaves of a korban todah. So, first of all, the korban todah matzah amount of flour was 15 kav. So this is two-thirds, that would be 10 kav, and the types of loaves that the nazir brought were the chalos urikikin, to the exclusion of, as the Mishnah says, v'ein ba revucha, that third type of matzah loaf was not brought by the nazir. Nimso asora kavin Yerushalmis. It comes out then that the nazir was bringing 10 kav, 10 Yerushalmi kav, which is the name of a measure, shehen shisha esroinos v'oidian. That also is the equivalent of 6 2/3 isaron. Minohani mili. From where do we know that the miluim was made of chalos, rikikin, and revicha, those three types of matzah loaves? Before going on in the Gemara, we can turn to our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. In the Gemara marking system, which is based on our Shas Ozer, that marked out that appears on your screen, we feature topic headings and structural notes that accompany each new sugya. In this case, our topic heading is combined with the structural note where we feature the house shape. The house shape appears in the Gemara, you see a couple of times, and we explain those are Mekoros, sources, the Miluim, Bo'u, Kematza, Shabbatoto, that the Miluim offering at the time of the dedication of the Mishkan came as the Matzah that was brought as part of a Korban Todah. So the Gemara is seeking sources for that by its question, Meno Hanimili. Omar Rav Chista, Omar Rav Chamo Bar Gurya, Diomar Kro. Rav Chista cites the following posuk: Umisal haMatzos asher lifnei Hashem, lokach chalas matzo achas, v'chalas lechem shemen achas, v'rokik echad. This was in Pos. You can see this is coming from Vayikra Perek Ches, dealing with the dedication of the Beisam of the Mishkan. So, as far as this pasuk is concerned, the Gemara continues, Bishlomo chalos, chalos. The pasuk made a reference to chalas matzah, so we see that the that's a reference to the chalos that was also found in the Korban Todah. The pasuk makes a reference to a rokik equals rokik. So the reference in the pasuk from the Miluim is of the reference to rokik is a reference is referring to the rokik type loaf. So far we've accounted for the chalos and the rokik, shemen mai nihu, the posuk that was cited here in the Gemara that mentioned shemen, what is that a reference to? Lav revucha, is it not a reference to the revucha type loaf? So there you have it, three types of loaves. The three matzah types of loaves. Maskif lo Rav Avyo. Rav Avyo takes objection and he says, Emo anso demashcho. Maybe the reference to shemen in this posuk from Vayikra Ches is simply a cake of congealed oil. But it's not necessarily a reference to a baked flour good. Elo, so what about the source for the three, especially for the third kind of loaf? Kibidorash Rav Nachman Rav Chisda Mishmeid Rav Tavla. The following posuk is cited: Ze korban Aharon uvonov asher yakrivu l'Hashem biyom himoshach oisoi. This pasuk compares Aharon and his sons with one another in the context of Yom Himoshcho. Now, Yom Himoshcho literally is the day of his anointing, but Rashi explains this is a reference to the Chavitin of the Kohen Godol. The Chavitin was a daily meal offering brought by the Kohen Gadol that was a revucha. The revucha is the name of that third type of matzah loaf that we are looking for. So the posuk here is makish, elo makish chinuchoi lehimoshcho, the Gemara says. The Gemara compares chinucho is an expression referring to the miluim, lehimoshcho to the chavitin. Ma himoshchoi revucha, just like Himoshcho, which is, as we said, a reference to the Chavite Kohen Gadol, was a revucha. Af chinucho revucha. So too, the miluim required a revucha. So as we look over this Gemara, we see that from the Pasuk in Vayikra Ches, we have a clear reference to two types of matzah loaves, the chalos and rekikin, and from the Pasuk from Vayikra Vov, we see a reference to the revucha type loaf that was also brought during the miluim. Omar Rav Chisda, Kohen Gadol hamiskarev lavoida, a Kohen Gadol that starts his service as a Kohen Gadol, tzorich shtei isronos ha'efa, he needs two isronos from an efa. This is a quantity of flour. Achas lihimoshcho, one is going to be brought as a result of his being anointed as a Kohen Gadol, the achas lechinucho, and the other is as a consecration of his service. Mar Bravashi Omar Sholosh. Mar Bravashi says he brings three esreinos, velo pligi, and yet there is no argument between Rav Chisda and Mar Bravashi. Ha de avad avodo kishehu kohen hediot. If he had already served as a kohen, as a common kohen, then he doesn't need to bring a third isaron. Ha de lo avad avodo kishehu kohen hediot. If we have this individual who is entering the office of kohen gadol, having not served at all as a kohen hediot, so that will explain the need for a third isaron offering. Nazirus hoisabo shtei yodos kematzo shebetoido. The nazir would bring meal offerings that amounted to 2/3 of what one would bring as part of the matzah part of a korban toda. Before going further in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin under our nosei mivne heading. We have a triangle featured. They represent makoros, sources, the nozir hoya maybe 2/3 ha-matzah shehoya betoda, that a nozir would bring 2/3 of what the matzah section of a korban toda was, v'hainu, chalos urikikin, avalo revucha. The nozir would bring the chalos and rikikin type loaves, but not the revucha. So as we said, these triangles represent sources on this topic. Tana Rabbanan, Shlomov. This pasuk is written in the context of the Korban Todah. Le Rabois Shalmi Nozir Vaseris Kavin Yerushalmios Ulervius Shemen. This pasuk by the Korban Todah has in it the word Shlomov, which is a reference to the Shalmi Nozir. And the Shalmi Nozir is the Shlomim that a Nozir brings. And together with that, he brings menachas, and they are made of 10 Yerushalmi kavin, and he brings along with that and part of that is a revius of shemen. A revius is a liquid quantity of oil. Yochol l'chol ma she'omor b'inyan. If you're saying that the nazir is referred to in the context of a korban todah, is the nazir include? Is he to be compared completely to the korban todah and bring revucha as well? Talmud lomar matzois. It says in the context of the nazir, it says matzos, and this is from a posuk in Bamidbar vav posuk tezvav, in which it says v'sal matzois solus chalus plulos b'shemer kikim matzos m'shuch b'shemen m'chosim niskeim. We have this posuk included on the inside margin. From the pasuk of Vesal Matzos, we see otherwise. So the Gemara asks, well, my Tamuda, how do you see that by the fact that the word Matzos appears, that we are going to exclude the Revucha? After all, the Revucha loaves were also Matzah. Omar Rav Papa, Dovar Shine'emar Boi Matzos. The Nozer will bring that type of loaf where in the Korban Todah the word matzah was used. So when you look at the psukim dealing with the Korban Todah, you will find that the word matzah appears together with the chalos urikikin type loaves to the exclusion la'afuke revucha, to the exclusion of the revucha de lo ne'amar boi matzois. If we glance in the Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, Omar of Papa, Dover Shinemar Bochalos, Betoda, the Hainu, Chalos Rikikin. That is true with regard to the Chalos and Rikikin loaves, Dichtiv, and here is the Posuk. Chalos Matzois Blues Beshemen, Rikike Matzois. So you see, in this Posuk, Matzos appears with Chalos, and it appears with Rikikin. Lahi Iskish Hamatzos Mers Benozir. The Toda and the Nozir. The Nozir is compared to the Toda with regard to those. Avlu Revucha de'ein kosav kad bohen matzos lo hukshu lechem Nozir. The Nozir is not compared to the Toda with regard to the Revucha, because in the case of the Revucha, you don't find the word matzos. So the word matzos that you find by Nozir is the key that unlocks the issue of which kind of loaves the Nozir brings. The word matzos appears by Nozir, and it appears in the case of the Korban Todah, but only together with the Chalos and Rikikin. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tona, the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, offers the following teaching on this topic. Matzos, it says by the Nozir, Sal Matzos, Klal, Chalos Rikikin, Prat. The term chalos and rikikin is found by the nozir as well, as we saw in the pasuk that was written on the inside margin. So the structure of this pasuk is general, klal. It opens with a klal, which means a general expression, and then it follows with details or examples. Those are referred to as prat. When you have a structure like this, klal uprat ein b'chal elamashi b'prat, the extent of that which will be brought is only that which is enumerated in the pasuk. Chalos urikikin in, midi achrino lo. Only those are brought, the chalos urikikin, and not something else. With that, we exclude the revucha. As we turn to the top of Amud Beis, the Mishnah. Before reading the Mishnah, let's glance at the topic heading that we have here, the Nosei. Shchitas hatoda, she'amur lekadesh es halechem. The slaughtering of the Todah sacrifice, which serves in general to sanctify the loaves that are brought together with a Korban Todah. A Korban Todah is famous for the fact that along with the animal that's sacrificed, there are 40 loaves that come along with it. What sanctifies those loaves? So we say the slaughtering of the animal sacrifice sanctifies them. So we say as follows, that the slaughtering of that animal, lo yikadesh halechem im, the slaughtering will be ineffective to sanctify those breads if, number one, lachmo chutz lechomo, if the breads are outside of the wall. And secondly, lo kormu poneho shel halechem, if the breads have not begun crusting. Turning now to the Mishnah. Hashochides ha-todah bifnim, one who slaughters the korban todah inside, meaning in the azara, where it's supposed to be slaughtered, the lachmo chutz lechoimo, and the breads are outside the wall, lo kidesh alechem, the bread does not attain sanctity. Shochta ad shelo kormu poneh batanor, if the shechita, the slaughtering, took place before the breads developed a crust in their baking, it's then still considered dough, and it's not called a lechem at that point. Ve'afilu kormu kulon chutz me'echod mehen, even if all of the loaves did start developing a crust with the exception of one of the loaves, lo kidesh alechem, sanctity is still not achieved. The Gemara wants to know what is meant by the Mishnah when it says that the breads are outside the wall. Well, which wall? My chutz l'choyma. So Rabbi Yochanan Omar, chutz l'chumas beis pagi. If they are outside the beis pagi wall. The beis pagi, Rashi explains, is the outermost Jerusalem wall. So if it's outside the outermost wall of Yerushalayim, then the breads will not be sanctified. However, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if they're within the walls of Yerushalayim, even though they're not in the Beis HaMikdash, they can achieve sanctity at the point that the Toidah is slaughtered. The second opinion, and that's of Reish Lakish Omar, Chutz L'chomas Ho'azora. If the breads are not together with the Korban in the temple courtyard, in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash, the breads will not achieve sanctity. In a moment, the Gemara will present the reasoning behind Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, but before we do that, let's glance at our topic heading in the outside margin. We've written under the Nosei heading, Machloikes Kfula, a double Machloikes Bein Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Beinyan Al Besomuch. There are psukim that use the word Al. Does the word Al in our sugya will have two psukim specifically? Does it mean next to? The point will come up in two topics. Number one, Mikum Lachme Toida B'Shas Shechita. We'll discuss the location of the Todah breads at the time of Shechita, of the slaughtering of the core of the sacrifice. And number two, Mikum Chometz Shel Bailim Oy HaKayin, the location of Chometz owned by the one bringing his Korban Pesach, or the Kohen who was processing the Korban Pesach. That's the location of the chametz at the time b'shchitas haPesach, at the time the Pesach is being slaughtered. Uksiv, and the pasuk says lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. So there's a halacha that chametz is not to be in the presence of or in the possession of the owner or the kohen. And the Gemara here will be focusing specifically on the location of that chametz. We've included in this sugya the two essential psukim, and we can see them on the inside margin. Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis, the pasuk in the context of the Korban Todah says, Im al toido yakrivenu, vikriv al zevach ha-toido chalois matzus blus b'shemen, etc. And a pasuk dealing with the Korban Pesach, Shmois Perek Lamedalet Pasuk of Hei, Pasuk says, Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zivchi Velo Yolin Laboiker Zevach Haga Pesach. Now we turn back to the Gemara, realizing that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan will make mention of this issue of Al. Does Al mean literally next to, or not so literal? The Machlokis is featured as far as the markings are concerned. You can see we've circled the names Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan here and a few lines later when the Gemara brings in the topic of the Korban Pesach. So turning to the Gemara, Reish Lakish Omar Chutz L'chomas Azora, he says the breads will not be sanctified if they are outside the walls of the temple courtyard at the time of Shechita, because Bo'inon Aul B'Somuch, as the Pasuk said, Yim Ol Toida Yakrivenu. So Ol Toda means next to the Toda. Al therefore means besamuch, next to. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Chutz L'Chomas Beis Pagi. If the breads are outside the outermost wall of Yerushalayim, only then they are not sanctified. Avo Chutz L'Azora Kadosh. If the breads are outside the walls of the Azora but inside Yerushalayim, they will gain sanctity. V'lo bo'inon al besamuch. And there's no requirement of the breads being next to, because he does not interpret the word al to mean next to. The Gemara raises a question, and you can see this is called, we call this a long question, because there is the length of the question lasts a few lines, as is indicated by our long question mark. And you can see to the immediate left, right-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line indicating the length of the question. So the question is asked, V'ho ifligu bo chadozimna? Is it not so that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish argued over this very point once already? And when you see a question, a phrase like this, the point is, why is it necessary to teach the Machlokis again when I already have taught it in another context? And I could simply, on my own, compare the Shitas or transpose the opinions of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan from one topic to the other on my own without it having to be spelled out twice. So the Gemara asks, is it not so that they argued over this point of Al B'Somach already once before, Disnan? There is a Tanaic source, and you can see the Tanaic source is in a frame, as in the Gemara marking system, where we try to frame off all Tanaic sources to distinguish them from the rest of the Gemara literature. The source says, HaShochet Es HaPesach Al HaChometz. If the Korban Pesach is slaughtered over Chometz, Over Beloisase, there is a violation of a negative commandment. The Pasuk says, as we saw before, and you can see we have this on the inside margin, it says, Lo Sishchat Al Chometz Dam Zifri. One should not slaughter the Korban Pesach with Chometz around. So if one does, he's in violation of that Pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Af HaTomid. The Pasuk, since it uses the word Dam Zivchi, Zivchi is to include one who, let's say a Kohen, is slaughtering the afternoon daily sacrifice, the Tomid Shelbein Rabayim, which happens to be the time of day that a Korban Pesach can be brought. So the prohibition of being in possession of Chometz at that time applies as well to the Tomid. The Omer Reish Lakish. Here we have the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish within the context of the Korban Pesach. The Oilom Eino Chayav Atshiyehe Ola Shochet Ola Zorik O the Echod Mibnei Hachabura Imui Ba'azora. There is no violation unless the Chometz is in the Azora. The Chometz of whom? Of either the one slaughtering it, the one doing the blood sprinkling, or one of the members of the group that will be partaking of the Korban Pesach. B'nei Chabura is a reference to the group that was appointed to eat together from a specific Korban Pesach. So the main point, though, for us is that which we've dashed underlined, Bo Azora. The Pasuk that warns against the Chometz of one of these people, is that warning or the violation of that mitzvah is only if their Chometz is together with them in the Azora. For B'Yochanan Omar, Af Alpi She'ein Imoi Ba'Azora. There will be a violation if one simply is in ownership of Chometz at the time the Korban Pesach is being slaughtered, even if it's not in the Azora together with him. So what do we see? We see Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan arguing over how to interpret the word al that was featured in the Pasuk Lo Sishchat Al Chometz. If that be the case, if they've already had their machlokis in the case of the Korban Pesach, why do they have to have their machlokis again within the context of the sanctification of the breads of the Todah when the animal is being slaughtered, when the Korban Todah sacrifice is being slaughtered? The Gemara says, Tzricho, I need this dual machlokis. De'i itmar behahi, had I taught their opinions, the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, in the case of the Korban Pesach, Bahi kom Rabbi Yochanan, I would have thought that maybe only over there does Rabbi Yochanan say what he says, the chol hecha diisei beisurakoi, wherever the chametz is. So the person who is slaughtering or sprinkling the blood, etc., so he is in violation. Namely, wherever the chametz is, the iser is achieved. Avol, the inyan mikdash lechem, but with regard to the standard that we apply for gaining sanctity for the breads, achieving sanctity of the breads, or sanctification of breads, Emo, I might have thought that since you're dealing with a different issue, you're not dealing with the violation of a sin, but rather with achieving sanctity for the breads, Emo moidi li l'Reish Lakish, I might have thought to say that Rabbi Yochanan would concede to Reish Lakish, the Isei b'fneim kadosh, that if the breads are in the Azara, then they achieve sanctity. Avroi lo kadosh, if they are Avroi outside, they don't achieve sanctity. The Idmar Baha, and had I taught the Machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish only in the case of the Kiddush Lachmi Toida, I might have thought or gained the wrong impression as follows. Baha Kam Reish Lakish. Maybe only here does Reish Lakish say it has to be together with him because we're talking about gaining sanctity. Avo Bahach. But in the case of the Korban Pesach and the possession of chometz on the part of one of the participants, Emo, I might have thought to say, Rabbi Yochanan, that Reish Lakish would concede to Rabbi Yochanan that wherever it is, there is a problem. Tzricha, therefore I have to have this machlokes taught in the case of the Korban Pesach as well. Tanyo Kavose de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a short Tanaic source that you will see supports Rabbi Yochanan with regard to the definition of the wall, or chutz l'choyma. Hashochet es hatoido lifnim velachmo chutz l'chumatz beis pagi lo kidesh alechem. So this source is very quite clear that when is there no sanctification achieved for the lachmei toda? That's if they are outside the walls of beis pagi, way out, meaning outside the outermost wall of Yerushalayim. However, if they are in the walls of Yerushalayim, even if they're not literally next to the Korban Toida, they nevertheless will gain sanctity. And that's the same as which Rabbi Yochanan taught above. Shochta at shelo kormu panel batanur mino hanimili. From where do we know that crusting is necessary in order to achieve sanctification of the breads? The Pasuk in Vayikra, Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, we've included this Pasuk on the inside margin where we'll read together, Al Chalois Lechem Chometz Yakriv Korbano Al Zevach Toidas Shlomov. The Brisa that answers the question of the Gemara that asks, Meno Hanimili, the Tanu Rabbanan, from where do we know that which was taught? So the Brisa features this Pasuk, and it will be broken down into several parts. We've underlined the quotes from the Pasuk. Al Chalois Lechem Chometz Yakriv Melamed She'ein HaLechem Kodosh Elohim Kim Kormu Ponel Batanur. The Pasuk is teaching us that the breads are not sanctified until they develop a crust. Yakriv korbanoi al zevach, melamed she'ein halechem kodosh elo b'shchitas zevach, hazevach. This teaches us that the breads are not sanctified unless the slaughtering of the sacrifice takes place. In other words, it's the action of the slaughtering that imposes sanctity on the breads. Zevach toidas melamed she'im shochat shelo lishmon lo kidesh alechem. This will be an issue featured in the upcoming Mishnah as well. This is the quote from the Pasuk that teaches that if he slaughters the Korban Toida with an incorrect mindset, in this case not having the Korban Toida in mind, so the mere physical act of slaughtering is not sufficient to impose sanctity on the bread. That's lo kidesh alechem. Before going further, we have a nosei, a topic heading for this Gemara, Balachmei Toida uvamatzah shel Pesach, Sagi ba'afuyo k'tzas. With regard to the breads of the Toda, and matzah the one eats on Pesach, Seder night, it is sufficient if these these baked goods are partially baked. In other words, there is no insistence on them being completely baked. Tanu Rabbanon, Yoitzin b'matzas no, u'v'matzah asuya b'ilfis. One can fulfill his matzah requirement of Pesach with matzah no, and with a matzah that was prepared in an ilfis. An ilfis is a type of pan. My matzah no. What is meant by that? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel Kol Sheporso V'Ein Chutin Nimshochin Heimeno. If it's at a level of having been baked where you can break it, you can cut it apart, pull it apart, and no dough strings appear. That's Ein Chutin. Chutin are strings. Strings of dough that are not drawn from it when you are breaking it. This indicates it's at least partially baked. Omar Rova V'Chein V'Inyin Lachmei Toida. The same standard will apply to the breads of the Toda. The Gemara asks, "Well, pshita, ocho lechem ksiv, ocho lechem ksiv." In both contexts, you see the word lechem, and if you defined in the case of matzah that as long as no strings of dough are drawn from it, it's achieved its necessary state. So, to any place that you see the word lechem, you would assume that to be the case. So the question right now is, what is Rava adding to our knowledge that I would not have known on my own? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema. I would have thought without Rava's teaching about the Lachmei Toda, I might have thought based on the following drosha, Echod, Omar Rachmana. The word Echod appears in the case of the Lachmei Toda, Shelo Itol Porus. And it tells me that you should not take something, and there specifically it's talking about the truma tithe that was separated, four loaves were separated from the 40 loaves of the Korban Todah. And it's telling me you're not allowed to cut off a piece of the loaf to offer the Kohen as his truma portion. So since the Pasuk says, Shelo Yitol Porus, the whole commanded priest of Damio, because it's not fully baked, it's something that could break on its own. It will break. It's not a well baked loaf. So as a result of that, if you try to, let's say, pick it up, it'll fall apart. So being that that's its nature, I would say the whole commanded priest of Damio, it's as if it's broken. And the pasuk said Shelo Yitol Porus. You're not allowed to take Porus, you're not allowed to give to the Kohen something that's porus, and this partially baked loaf would be, in effect, a violation of that. Komash Malon, Rava tells me, don't go that far. And therefore, Rava is very important in telling us that if something is baked to the point that there are no strings of dough drawn from it, that's considered sufficiently baked to fulfill the bread requirement of the Korban Todah. Before going further, we notice a slash mark at the end of line indicating that which follows is a new idea. So we also glance at the topic heading in the outside margin under the nosei, Todah Sheshochta Al Shmoinim Chalos. The Gemara will define this carefully, but for our purposes, we are describing a case of a Korban Todah. This is the animal that's brought as such a korban. And instead of having 40 loaves, we're going to talk about a korban toda that's shechted over 80 loaves. And the Gemara will feature Machlokas, Chizkiyah, and Rabbi Yochanan. Under our Mivneh heading, which is a structural note, we see a diamond featured. These are deos. These are different opinions. B'mai Chokim Chizkiyah v'Rabbi Yochanan. We mentioned that they argue within this case of 80 loaves, what exactly is their machlekes. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a little aleph and beis appearing in the next to Rav Papa. There will appear two lishonos, two versions as to what Rav Papa teaches. So now, turning to the Gemara, Itmar, Toida Sheshochta al Shmoinim Chalos. This Toda sacrifice was shechted over 80 loaves. Chizkiya Omar, Kodshu Arboim Mitoch Shmonim. 40 of the 80 loaves achieve sanctity, and he thereby fulfills his requirement. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Lo Kitshu Arboim Mitoch Shmonim. 40 of the 80 are not sanctified. Omar Rabbi Zera. Now, Rabbi Zera is the first of a couple of opinions in defining this machlekes. First of all, he says, Hakol Moidim Hecho de Omar. Everyone will agree where the person said, Likdashu Arboim Mitoch Shmonim. I want only 40 of the 80 loaves that I've brought to become sanctified. Kitshu. That sanctity is achieved. And he does fulfill his requirement. Another possibility, Bayes, Al Yikatshu Arboim Elohim Ken Yikatshu Shmoinim, if he declares, I don't want 40 loaves to achieve sanctity unless all 80 achieve sanctity, then Lo Kitshu, then there is no sanctification, because 80 loaves is not the number that's supposed to be brought. So he's declaring something that is not to be done. So both of these cases that we've labeled Aleph and Beis are obvious. Obvious, or there's no controversy concerning those cases. Ki pligi, when does the machlokes Chizkiyahu and Rabbi Yochanan arise? Bestamo, where a person doesn't say anything. He simply brings 80 loaves when he is bringing his animal Todah offering. Mor sovar, Chizkiyah, who says that that 40 of the 80 gain sanctity, why is he bringing an additional 40? Lachrayis kamechavein. He's bringing it as a backup or a guarantee. Namely, if the 40 of his loaves get lost, he'll have these backup loaves available. Rabbi Yochanan, and more so far, the second opinion, namely that of Rabbi Yochanan, the korban gadol kamechavein. He's bringing 80 loaves because he has intent to bring an 80 loaf korban Torah. And that, as we said before, is not what the Torah prescribes. Therefore, it's a non-starter. In other words, no sanctity is achieved. Abaye Omar. Bekli shores mekadshin shaloi midas komifligi. Rashi explains that everyone, according to Abaye, Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiyahu agree that le korban gadol kamechavein. He really does intend. His intention is for all 80 loaves to become sanctified. However, there's another question here, and that is, does the kli shoris, that's a reference to the service vessel, does it sanctify all 80? More so far, kli shoreis mekatshin shaloi midas. Chizkiyahu says that the service vessel that is present or used in the context of these loaves, the kli shoreis will mekadesh only that which is necessary. Shaloi midas means without the knowledge of the owner, or in this case, counter to the intent of the owner. So that the kli shoreis has an overruling a power of effectiveness. That would be the opinion of Chizkiyahu that says kli shoreis mekadshin, the service vessels have the capacity of sanctifying only that which is necessary, which is shaloi midas, which is not according to the mindset of the owner. Umo sovar, Rabbi Yochanan says, kli shoreis ein mekadshin shaloi midas. You can't rely on the kli shoreis to overrule the mindset of the owner. And therefore, since you can't rely on the kli shoreis, and we said that the owner intends for a korban gadol, for a large sacrifice, namely all 80 loaves to be part of his korban todah, therefore, since the Torah says only 40, nothing becomes sanctified. Rav Papa Omar, and noting here that this is the Aleph version of Rav Papa, there's a second Lashon a few lines later, toward the end of the line, at that point you'll see an Iko Diamri squiggle underlined, indicating the second Lashon. So here, the first Rav Papa Omar, Dukuli Alma Klishoris Mekachin Shalom Midas. Everyone agrees that the service vessel is capable of sanctifying Shalom Midas contrary to the owner's mindset. So if that be the case, if everyone agrees with that, so then why is it that Rabbi Yochanan says that they're not sanctified? The Hocha Besakin Komiflugi. Here, the controversy revolves around the knife. The knife that was used for slaughtering the Korban Toida. Morsovar, Sakin Mekadeshes Kiklishores. Chizkiya holds that the knife has sanctification powers like a klishores. And we just, Rapapa claims that klishores, according to everyone, is Mekadesh Shalomidas. So the knife used to to slaughter the animal will serve to sanctify only 40 of the 80 loaves. Umor Savar Sakin, Kevan Deles Le Toch. The sakin, since it has no interior, it's a blade, it doesn't have a rim in which things are placed, it doesn't have an interior, so eino mekadeshes kukli shores. It does not have the sanctification power of a standard service vessel. V'ikah d'amri, another version of Rav Papa Omar, d'kuli alma kukli shores ein mekadeshin elo midas. Everyone will agree, not only Rabbi Yochanan, but Chizkiya will also agree that the klishores do not sanctify, contrary to the owner's mindset. The hocha, and here where Chizkiya says that 40 of the 80 loaves do gain sanctity, besakin komiflegi, their argument concerns the knife. More so of our sakin alimo mi klishores. Chizkiya will hold that a sakin is stronger than a klishores. And just like, if you say it's stronger than a klishores, it means that even though a service vessel, it's on its own, could not sanctify Shalom Midas, the knife can. The afagav de les le toich, the nature of the knife is that even though it does not have an interior, mikdashah, it's capable of creating sanctity. Umor savar, sakin lo alimo le miklishoris. A sakin does not have a stronger capacity than a standard klishoris. And if everyone is going to hold, according to this version, that klishoris are not mikdash against the owner's intention, and therefore, if the owner intends for 80 to be sanctified, then nothing will become sanctified. And this is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that the sakin is no stronger than a klishores. And as a result of that, the sakin also does not help to impose any sanctity. Shochta chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mkoimo kidesh alechem. If one slaughters a Korban Toda with the incorrect mindset concerning time and place, where he intends to eat the Korban beyond the right time or in the wrong place. Nevertheless, Kidesh Alechem, the bread, gains sanctity. Before going any further, let's just glance at the introductory note we have here under the Nosei heading. Psulim, Shoinim, different lackings, different problems that arise b'shchitas ha-toida v'hashpo'asam al kiddush alechem, and their effect or influence when it comes to the sanctification of the bread. So we read already one psul, and that's the psul of chutz lizmano and chutz l'mkoma. If one has this kind of wrong intention, nevertheless, kidesh alechem, the bread does gain sanctity. It just so happens, though, that if one eats from those breads, he'll be chayev, in the case of chutz lizman, he'll be chayev kores. Shochta v'nimseis trefa, if he slaughtered the korban toda, the animal, and found an internal organ having this deficiency that makes it a trefa, then lo kidesh alechem, the breads that were brought along with it gain no sanctity. Shochta v'nimseis balas mum, he shechted the animal and it turned out to be an animal with a blemish. Rabbi Elazar mer kidesh, that the breads are do achieve sanctity. V'chachomim oimrim lo kidesh. A fourth case, shochta shaloi lishma. It was slaughtered, the korban toda was slaughtered having another kind of korban in mind. V'chein eil hamiluim, v'chein shnei kivsei atzeres, sheshochtan shelo lishmon. And the same with regard to the two kivsei atzeres, there were loaves of bread, the shnei alechem were brought along with them.
and the miluim, we saw earlier in today's shiur that at the point of miluim there were also loaves brought. In all of these cases, if they were slaughtered with a different korban, with a different sacrifice in mind, then lo kidei shalechem. Masnisin moni. Our Mishnah is according to which Tanaic authority. In other words, we learned a Mishnah, that, and there are no names as far as author of the Mishnah. There may be some. There's a citation of Ezra and the Chachamim within the Mishnah, but who stands behind this Mishnah? Masnisin moni. Answer: Rebbe Meir Hi Desanya. The Gemara offers or opens here with a long brisa that continues down the top of Ayin Tes Omet Aleph. Our intention right now, as far as today's shiur is concerned, is simply to read the section of the brisa that illustrates how our Mishnah parallels Rebbe Meir. So we're going to have a brisa now, which will contain cases similar to our Mishnah, and we'll see that Rebbe Meir is behind this. Ze haklal, kol shepisulo kidem shvita lo kidei shalechem. If we're dealing with a deficiency that arose prior to the slaughtering, so that's, we'll call it a fundamental type of deficiency, and therefore the slaughtering of the korban todah under such circumstances where the psul was before shechita, lo kidei shalechem, the breads do not gain sanctity. Pisulo achar shechita, kidei shalechem. If the psul was a psul that arose after the shechita, the term after, we're going to have to be a little bit broad in our definition and explain that the word acher simply is to the exclusion of before. So we're talking about a psul that was not in existence before the Shechita. If that be the case, then the slaughtering will sanctify the breads. And now, examples. We labeled the opening rules as Aleph and Beis, and now we have an illustration of, in fact, the Beis rule. Shachta chutz lizmana, the chutz limkoyma, if he shechted the korban todah with this mindset of out a wrong time, or beyond right time, or in wrong place, these are psulim that arise only at the time of the shechita, not prior. Therefore, kidei shalechem. The bread achieves sanctity, even though it's osur to eat the bread, but nevertheless, one has to realize that it's bread that has a level of sanctity to it, and of course that has halachic ramifications. Now, an illustration of the first point, shochta v'nimtzeis trefa, lo kidei shalechem. If you slaughtered an animal and found an internal organ with a deficiency that labels it as a trefa, that is a deficiency that existed prior to the Shechita, and therefore the bread does not gain sanctity. Shochta v'nimtzeis balas mum, it's slaughtered and found to be with this kind, with a blemish. A blemish, a balas mum, is different than an organ deficiency. That's just as far as terminology is concerned. If it's found to be a balas mum, Rabbi Lezer Omer Kidesh, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Kidesh. Rabbi Lezer says that the breads are nevertheless sanctified. Rabbi Yeshua says they're not sanctified. Truth be told, Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is a little easier to understand because a blemish, ba'al mum, is something that probably existed prior to the Shechita. And if the rule of our Mishnah holds, that, or of this Tanaic source, that psulim that existed before the Shechita are such that there will be no sanctity imposed on the bread at the point of slaughtering, Rabbi Yeshua then would seem to fit in more smoothly with that. Rabbi Lezer will require further explanation at another time. But Rabbi Lezer holds, he says that nevertheless, even though it's found to be a Baal Mum, sanctity is imposed. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So this section of the Brisa is authored by Rabbi Meir. And all of that which we learned in this Brisa can be found in the Mishnah. Therefore, we can say that the Mishnah is authored by Rebbe Meir. The Bryce itself, as you can see, continues quite a way down, and we say you can see it because you can see how the frame extends till almost halfway down the page. But as far as the length of our shiur is concerned, with this we conclude our shiur for today.